Paul uses the metaphor of gardening to point us in the nature of the direction that the church should take. He said, I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the growth. And we are especially mindful of this today as we celebrate the ordination and installation of our new elders and our new deacons, the leaders of our congregation. And then with this metaphor, we also are reminded that we are here because of those who have come before us, just like Paul and Apollos. Consider this, back in 1929 and completed on April 6th of 1930, this building right here, the sanctuary right there and all of the hallway right through here, was built during the worst possible time in American history. It was built during a depression that would last for over a decade, called the Great Depression. And they did this on faith. They did this on the belief that they would be here long after that depression had ended. And it's a great metaphor for the church. Those who garden know that gardening calls for a certain trust in something that is bigger and larger than ourselves. There is a divine process for those who garden, and they know this, that is at work and that is constantly unfolding before us, that we can be part of, certainly. We are encouraged, and without us, there wouldn't be soil, there wouldn't be watering, there wouldn't be the things that Sophie pointed out to us. But it's not something that we can control, or should we try to control? Gardening calls for patience. It calls for us to not just sit back, but to give the very best that we've got, but to realize that in spite of our best laid plans, in spite of our best efforts, life will still happen to us. And that those who exhibit this and know this have learned how to wait on the Lord. But gardening also reminds us that we do more than simply sit back after we've planted the seeds and watered them. And we do more than just wait. What we do is we dig. We water, we feed, we weed pull, we stake out, we manure spread, we do TLCing, we talk to our plants. Hard work, which is wedded to trust. And the recognition that in God's church garden, differing people are wondrously gifted to the task of keeping this garden productive and growing. That each one of you is a laborer in this image that Paul talks about. And then he moves us from gardening to agriculture. And he says that Christ has laid the sure foundation for us, and that we, in fact, are the interim builders and laborers. We are stewards. We don't own this. We won't take it with us. And the foundation that has been laid for us is sound. We can count on that. The bricks and mortar, the foundation are there. But successive builders, such as us, must be faithful to that foundation. Some of us having to lay new pipe, for example. But all of us adding to the structure with care so that succeeding generations of builders will have a work of integrity in which to continue the building process that we hand off to them, so to speak. I have long appreciated the perspective of my mentor, Reinhold Niebuhr, who I studied. I didn't study under him, but I studied of him. He was the focus of my thesis at Union Seminary, and he wrote a book called The Irony of American History. And in his book, he said this, and I think it's so true. It's true for not only churches, but for nations and for peoples. Nothing, he said, that is worth doing can be achieved in our lifetime. Therefore, we must be saved by hope. Hope that something better is still coming. And he says, nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of our history. Therefore, we must be saved by faith that something bigger will continue after us. And nothing we do, however virtuous, can be accomplished by ourselves. Therefore, we must be saved by love. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Or we might say, Rudy planted, Kofi watered, but God gave the growth. Christ has made this a sure foundation. Very simple, very basic, beautiful metaphors that point to a critical insight that in our life together as a community of faith, We are always part of something larger than our individual selves, something more expansive than our immediate locus of service and time and place, something that connects us back to the past, reaches into the future beyond ourselves. The church, this particular church, needs to hold on to these very simple images because they help us remember what we're here for and where we are moving as we go forward. Since 1832, the First Presbyterian Church, which was first founded and raised out on Main Street and then moved here in 1930, has been spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to successive generations. It's quite remarkable to realize just how important this thing is that we call the Christian community. It is a community that is based in faith. It has been conceived in love and hope, where life is shared in the most intimate ways, from beginning to end, through the joys and the sorrows, where nothing is spared. And that's what I want to focus for the remainder on of this sermon, this thing that we call a community. And by it, I simply mean that interdependence of people, of cultures, of histories that we have gathered today to serve and nurture throughout and because of one another. What has been life-giving to me as a pastor over these last 33 years are the connections that I have made and the confluence of this thing that we call body and soul, word and flesh, where thoughts become deeds, where goodness is enacted, this peopled understanding of community, where people's lives and livelihoods are intertwined, where you might not always like your neighbor, but you always know you need your neighbor, always need them and love them. This storied understanding of community, where children learn about people and place, heritage, and their ancestors from growing up side by side with their elders. This place, this understanding of community, which unfortunately is harder to find each and every day. All right? We have social communities, Facebook communities, Instagram communities, but nonetheless, they are not the same, and they're not going to ever replace the enfleshment of a community, of people actually gathering like we have gathered today. It's hard to find this, but that task is as necessary as when Paul began the whole grand experiment nearly 2,000 years ago, when he started founding those first churches with Priscilla and Aquila, people who are always here in the process of following in the way of Jesus, never completing that process, never finished, always learning about Jesus' truth, always experiencing the abundance of life that he offers, trying to find the way that offers all of this to us. Today, our lives are not as simple as they once were, right? Our communities are much more global. When this church was founded, 1832, we were very local. Hackensack was primarily Dutch. It had a Native American history to it. But today, that ethnicity has completely changed, and that culture has completely changed. What happens today in Africa, what happens today in Asia, what happens today in South America, what happens today in Europe, affects each and every one of us here. An uptick in the market here reflects an uptick somewhere else. A downtick in the market someplace else hits us here. But what is still essential over all these millennia is that need for community, that need to be where two or three are gathered. And so our ministry, while it may be in the 21st century, still remains the same as it did 2,000 years ago. It remains a ministry to people, to and of and about people. It's not the brick and mortar, it's us. It's always been us. It takes place, to be sure, here on Sunday mornings and on Thursday morning Bible studies, but it also takes place as we invest ourselves in the lives of those around us, as we get to know one another, as we spend time in each other's homes, spend time sharing our stories over coffee hour or at the men's fellowship gatherings. By the way, this coming Saturday, gents, at Patrick Apaya's, and the Women's Guild, the meetings on Tuesday mornings and Tuesday nights and Saturday mornings, and the groupings that are yet to even be conceived of that we've not seen yet. And through it all, I'm reminded again of our purpose, which is to nurture that which will never die, those things that are eternal, things like faith, things that we need always in our lives. We need hope, each and every one of us. And most importantly, this thing that we call love. A task that is without end. A task that is eternal. A task that is rewarding. And we know this. We know this, all of us here, because we have lived out of it in this crazy, wonderful place called the church. An imperfect institution. We have made our mistakes over the centuries and millennia. We have seen ourselves as sinners, but we are the keepers of the story, aren't we? We're the ones that tell the story of Jesus Christ. We're the ones that have the book and share that with one another. It's the greatest story, as far as I'm concerned, that's ever been told. It truly is. And because of this story, and because of the person of who Jesus is, we are in a place here with real people who have real problems, who have real joys, who can find a place that we call a sanctuary, a place that's a calm from the storm. He leads me beside still waters. This is the place of still waters. Chaos runs throughout life, doesn't it? Change runs throughout life, doesn't it? And we don't always adapt easily to it, right? That's because we're human. But nonetheless, it's the process of life. And that process is what makes for an abundance of it. An abundance from the beginning of life itself, from birth to death, from the emotion of joy to sorrow. This church is a spiritual blessing to me and to my family, and it has been for over 20 years now. And I certainly hope it's been a blessing to you as well, and those that are coming for the first time. I hope that we, as ancestors of the Apostle Paul, Priscilla, and Aquila, those early founders of the first churches, the first communities of faith, can continue to build and till on this soil and foundation that has been laid before us. I planted, Paul said. Apollos, well, he watered, but it is God who has always been giving the growth. We don't need to take credit for something that's not ours, but we do have to do our part, don't we? Our tools are faith, hope, love, and a little duct tape. Amen.
Oh,